This week's show with Lori Pengelly of Pansy Patch Quilts and Stitchery is sponsored by Sassy Jack Stitchery. The long-awaited opening of the permanent home for Sassy Jack Stitchery is within sight as progress has been made with the various building code agencies. But that doesn't mean your stitching is on hold. Sassy Jack's continues to be your complete online source for charts, linen, threads, and the numerous accessories we all use to make needlework enjoyable. Be sure to check out the many sampler charts offered by Sassy Jack's, including those from Queenstown Sampler Designs and Sassy Jack's own collection of Sassafras samplers. Visit the workshop section to sign up for the Summer House Stitchworks event, August 4 to 5, and the September Soiree online retreat, September 15 to 18. Also, be sure to sign up for the Cosmo Floss Club so you can build your collection of beautiful solid and variegated Cosmo floss. Make Sassy Jack Stitchery your local needlework store by visiting the website at sassyjackstitchery.com. And now our conversation with Lori Pengelly of Pansy Patch Quilts and Stitchery. Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
You're listening to Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. And our artist this week from Pansy Patch Quilts and Stitchery, Lori Pengelly. I knew I'd mess it up, Pengelly. Right? Did I get it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Lori? That's right.
Yeah, Lori
nice
Pengelly.
Nice to be here.
Thanks Lori, for welcome. Having me. Yes. Oh, boy. Yeah. Practice the name ahead of time and mess it up anyway. Nice going.
That's okay. That's okay.
All right, so the first question, it says Pansy Patch Quilts and Stitchery. All right, so we've got two first questions. Where does the pansy patch come from? And then which came first, the quilts or the stitching?
So the pansy patch actually came from a little teapot and mug that my mom had at her house. And it's covered in pansies. So, and it was at the start of when I was thinking of starting doing long arm quilting. So the pansy patch came with the teapot and mug, and then the quilts came first. So okay. I had dreamed of having a long arm business, but at the time I was working full time, so it didn't really work out how I wanted it to work out, but it was the quilts first. It was always something that I wanted. So I registered pansy patch quilts. So that was first.
Okay. And then the and stitchery came late. All right. Got it.
So then the stitchery came in when I started doing more of the cross stitch design, because I wanted the business to be all of it, because the cross stitch design, it got big pretty fast. And then I also do a lot of stitching on the quilting, embroidery, a lot of handwork. So that's where the stitchery came in.
Yeah, that's one of the cool things and why we wanted to talk to you is, yeah, you mix the two together quite nicely. It's great.
Thanks. I wasn't going to keep the quilts on there, but because it's kind of long, and then people are like, pansy patch, what's the name again? Because it's long. But yeah, I like the whole name encompasses everything I do. So.
And your quilts are beautiful. Those, the applique on them. And
Thank you. It's my favorite. It's my favorite thing to do. The wool applique and the stitchery in the quilting part. I love the handwork. And the little piecing, the little pieces, they're a lot of fun too.
So do you primarily use Baldani threads for that then, for the wool applique?
So for the two quilts that I've put out so far, the Pumpkin Dash and the Flower Possum Forget-Me-Nots, both are Baldani. Yep. The stitching and the wool applique embroidery. And I'm hand quilting the Flower Pots block of the month with Baldani too. So yep, all Baldani in those. I have my own collection of Baldani on the Baldani website. It's called Pretty Posies Collection by Pansy Patch Quilts and Stitchery. Whew, that's a mouthful too.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I've ever stitched with those threads before, but the colors, every time I see them, I kind of love threads. Are they nice to stitch with?
They're really nice to stitch with. Yeah. And so then the 12 weight that I mostly use for my wool applique and the embroidery, it's probably like about three strands of DMC held together. So if you stitch with two, the Baldani is just a wee bit thicker, but you can get away stitching on like a 28 count with it. So I think on 36 it'd be really heavy, but because it is thicker. But
right.
I've seen some cross stitch done in it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Some people use it, but it has a very subtle color variation, which is what I really find intriguing about it. Right? It's not got mm-hmm. really big blocks of color. At least not the ones I've seen.
No. It changes color frequently, so it's really nice to use. You get a lot of variegation in a small area. I like that too. It's really nice to use.
Yeah. I was just very curious about that, what you thought about that mm-hmm. thread. Well,
yeah, I love
nice
it.
To know.
I love it. And it's got a bit of a twist, which is nice too. And yeah, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, Beth is our resident thread addict.
Threads are the best.
They don't take up as much room as other things. At least they shouldn't, theoretically.
Depending Depends on, how many on what you have. Level you operate, Beth.
Yeah, this is right. True.
That's right. I have quite a bit of it, but like for the quilts, I think I used 12 in the flower pots, and the pumpkin dash, I think maybe only had 4.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nice.
They're beautiful
nice.
Colors. Beautiful. So they mm-hmm. do have like a 6-strand floss too, Baldani.
Oh, I didn't know really that. Nice.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that was it. 6 strands. So there you go. You could take 2 strands out Uh-oh. Of that or one and cross stitch with that. It's beautiful.
I think the major problem is it's hard to find where I am. I don't know any, I think there's maybe one quilt shop that carries it that I can think of. Close to me. Now I'm sure if I started searching around, I could probably find it. But,
and you might know.
which is a problem.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You're like, I need all the colors.
Oh, right. Add to my collection. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So
it's interesting how the more we've talked to a couple of people who do quilting lately, the overlap in materials, particularly threads, but just in materials in general, there's an awful lot of overlap between needlework and quilting that I never really realized.
Well, because even in a cross stitch, you make a pillow out of it, so you have quilting fabric. And then on the back of my cross stitch pillows, I always put the quilting fabric, and then I cut a piece of wool to cover the hole and applique it down. So yeah, it does definitely cross over.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you, long arm quilting, that's not something you just run down to the store and pick up a machine and set it up.
No.
How do you get to that as kind of your initial goal? That's quite a leap.
I think for me, I've been a quilter for, oh my gosh, probably nearly 35 years, maybe.
Whoa.
So for me, it was having about 25 quilt tops to be done and thinking, oh my gosh, do I buy a long arm to quilt them or do I get them all done? And I'm such a creative person that I like to do everything myself. So off I went and I bought a secondhand long arm and I really didn't have support for it. So I did a bit of work on it. And then it's only been about a few years that I went after and got the Gamel, which is like beautiful because I was going to start a business with it, which I didn't yet anyway.
Because you have to have space. You have to have space like a full basement or something, don't you? I mean, those are long.
Well, that's funny because it does take up half a basement. And when I told my husband I was bringing it home, they had to bring it through the basement window. And it's huge. It's huge. And I can't even repeat the words he said when he came home because that wouldn't be very good, but it's huge. And it does take up a lot of the basement. And it's so funny because I don't know. I think he notices that the couch gets a little closer to the TV because I keep pushing because I have my long arm. And then I have a couple desks set up with sewing machines and cutting tables. And it's kind of taken over the family room. That's what we're looking at now, is trying to build some kind of studio. But I do have a big family room in the basement, but it is huge. I don't even know how long it is. It takes a lot of space.
So was there a huge learning curve to learning how to do the long arm, or did you, you know, did you start with like little quilts and practice, so watch a lot of videos?
Videos. We kind of got it in COVID, so we didn't really have a lot of learning going on. The two men that came and set it up just did a quick overview of everything. But my daughter, she's so smart with the computer, so smart with everything that she can just pull in a pattern. And it does run on a computer, so the computer stitches the edge to edge. So you pick a pattern you want, you throw it in the computer, you size it to what you want, and then you set it all up and it runs right on the long arm. So it's not like you're doing it, but you can do custom by hand, but we mostly right now do edge to edge with the computer. So it's computer guided. But she's so smart with everything that I can't do it on my own. I always have to ask her. She helped me with my last one and I got one all done by myself, kind of. So, but it is, there's a lot to learn, and we haven't done much more than just the edge to edge so far. I did a bit of custom and
Do you have to,
it's a lot of fun.
Do you have to be there while it's stitching, or can you just put the pieces on there and just turn it on and let it rip?
So you can just turn it on and let it go. It will do a whole row across as wide as your quilt is because you program it in that way. But it's better to be close. The thread could break, or your bobbin runs out, or, you know, anything could happen. So I don't go too far. I'm usually just at my sewing machine when the long arm's running. My daughter's actually doing more than I am. She just did quite a few quilts. She started a little side business with it. So that's nice for her. She's really good at it.
Yeah.
And I don't have the time now. So I wish I had the time. But eventually.
Well, that long arm quilting, I mean, there's people who do that for a, you know, for a living, and seem to have a pretty good backup of customers. So I assume that once you get it going and get the word out, that you can keep them coming pretty steady.
I think she'll do really well. That was my plan when I bought it. I was going to start a business with it, and then the cross stitch took off so fast that that's what I've been more involved in, is the design part. But I did initially buy it for a business, so I said to my daughter, you know take it and run it part-time and do it through school. And now she's doing it for the summer and she's doing really well, so that's, it's nice, great for her too, because she has that to work at while she's in school and doing her design too. So nice. She can work on it. I can work on it. It's great.
All right. So when did cross stitch come into this mix?
So, I mean, I was a cross stitcher in the 80s, like a lot of people were. Mom and I used to cross stitch for hours and hours and hours at her cottage. And oh my gosh, we cross stitched so many geese, so many loons, because that's like what it was then, right?
Right.
And,
right.
And oh my gosh, the geese. I have so many cross-stitch geese in my house somewhere. I don't even know where they are now. But, and then the Paulovans. Both of us did quite a few Paulovans, and they're beautiful. But
they
then
are.
I don't know. It kind of died off a bit when I found quilting. Once I found quilting, that was it for me. Like, I've been a quilt. I quilt and I knit and I crochet. But once I found the quilting, and because the quilting encompasses the handwork, the embroidery, the hand quilting, the stitching, everything, I feel like I had everything all in one. So I did a lot of embroidery backstitch, you know, in the quilting. So a lot of the embroidery quilts. But then I guess it was my daughter at the beginning, was it beginning of COVID, or it might have been just the year before, when Mania came in, she found Mania and she's like, let's try it. Well, then it opened up a whole new world with the, oh my gosh, the designs, the linen, the hand-dyed floss, the everything I never even knew about, because I had just stitched on Aida and DMC, which I still like too, but I don't generally stitch on Aida now. I like my 36 count linen, but boy, it was a whole new world that opened up for us. And that's only been a few years. So it's only been about a few years that I've been back into cross stitch, and I absolutely love it. Love it so much.
Now I've got a question. So did you jump in and do a full mania where you did a new start every day for 31 days?
No, I think we did 5 or 6 starts. That was about it. No.
Okay.
No. I think she might have wanted, and I'm like, no. Let's just try and do a few at once. So I think that there were five or six. Yeah, 5 or 6. And it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun with that, especially not right. really being able to go anywhere. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. With COVID, it did stop us from going any place for a while, didn't it?
But it sure got us involved in a lot of things.
Yes. But not bad. So when did you start designing then and making your own patterns?
So I guess my first expo was 2 years ago. So that would be 2021. Maybe the March before, just in the spring of 2021, I grabbed a sketchbook and I drew out my first 4 designs, the Peace, Love, Hope, Faith ones, into a sketchbook. And I'm like, oh, I love these. And my daughter's like, you're going to turn them into cross stitch. I said, well, I'm going to try. So then I just got on the computer and I went from the sketches into the stitching program. And yeah. So I started stitching them all up, and then I saw Needlework Expo come up, and my daughter's like, Mom, you're not ready. Are you going to go? I said, no, I don't think I will. But I contact Janice that was running it, and she goes, no, you're good. You're ready to go. You have 4 designs in a series. She said, yeah, I think you should do it. So, and she's like, don't worry if you don't do that well. You know, a lot of times at the beginning, it takes a while to get going. But oh my gosh, I was so grateful. My designs, they were really popular, and I had quite a few orders for my first show. So that was when I first started, went right into Expo.
Wow. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. You started with just 4 designs and you put them out there and said, here I go.
So they were my first 4. I think I had a couple other little ones I put in too.
Mm-hmm.
I had them stitched too. So I might've had 7 in Expo. Or I might have had, I think I had 6 because I had 2 small ones too. But then it just, I don't know. Everything just kind of went like ballooned. And then I'm just on the computer and the designs just come, and I love it. I love the design process. I just love it.
So do you start by sketching out your designs, doing a rough sketch? Like if you have an idea, do you just stop and sketch it out and keep a sketchbook, or is it all done on the computer now?
So I mostly do it on the computer now, unless there's something I'm not sure how to chart out. But mostly I'll just pick up my computer and off I go.
Okay.
Yeah. I do sketch some things, but not like I did at first. Now I just pick it up and off I go, and I love it. I just love it.
So does the design come and then the colors, or do you lay out a color palette and then build the design?
So I mostly know the colors that I really love, and like I'll start the design and I'll pick the colors as I go. So even if it's a red, I know I want a red. And if it's not the exact red, at least I can chart it in red and then change it after.
Okay.
So I'll start my chart with a red, a blue, my greens I like. And then I do sometimes go in and flip them after when I do actually pick the floss and the linen. So I do pick the floss after. But the ones I know I like, I usually start with.
Because you have a beautiful primitive look to your work. Really,
thank you.
Yeah, it's really eye pleasing, at least to me it is. I really like the look that you get out of that. Is that just the way you see it, or is that, is there an intentional there, or just that's where you're comfortable?
That's where I'm comfortable. That's what I like. I'm not too much, I don't like very much bright, so I do like the more primitive, vintagey looking colors. So, I mean, I was always like a blackbird stitcher, Brenda Gervais.
Okay.
So when I first started stitching those, I mean, I like them all. I like them right. all, but I feel those, I gravitate more towards that kind of color palette.
Right. But it looked to some of these, especially there, I think it would be easy. Like, and I'm a bright person, you know, people are like, oh yeah, there's Beth. She's changed the colors and they're all bright.
So you do them all bright.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean,
and I would go and change them all to darker, more primitive looking.
Right. And that's the fun thing about that. If it's a good design, then, you know, you can change it to what works for you easily, I think, if the design mm-hmm. works. And I loved it that you had all the these little houses, and then you made a chart so you could place them in there. So you could do either little pillows for your little yeah. charts, and they all went together, or you could put them all in one big frame. And
right. So that started with, I think I want a peppermint house. So I went in and designed just peppermint house first. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, I want more of these houses. And then it came together. And then I thought, oh, maybe I could make a border with this. So that came later. The houses came first. And then I threw the border in and I was like, wow, I kind of like it. So yeah. Yeah. It's nice. So that's actually, I do love the little pillows and yeah. And the big design. Yeah. Yeah.
So do you stitch your own models?
So I mostly stitch my own. I did stitch all the little Peppermint Lane pillows, and I stitched the big design because they had to go to Fat Quarter Shop for a trunk show. And oh my gosh, I stitched so many. I was stitching hours and hours and hours a day to get it all done to get to Fat Quarter Shop. So after that, when I did Pumpkin Lane, I did have someone stitch the big model for that, because that was a bit too much for me. I do mostly all of my own stitching. I've had maybe 1, 2, 3 designs stitched, but I do like the design process and I do like stitching my own. I change colors as I go. So if I'm pretty secure in the colors I want to use, I'll send it out, but I mostly stitch my own.
Mm-hmm. 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 So it is hard sometimes.
It's time consuming, but I really love the stitching process and seeing how the colors go together and thinking, oh, well, I don't like that color with that. And, you know, a model stitcher, they might see it, but they don't always see it the way you want it to be, right?
Right.
So I do like to stitch my own when I can, but I don't know. It's getting to be a bit too busy.
Right, right.
Yeah, at some point, yeah, you got to turn it over if you want to keep putting the ideas out.
Yeah.
But that's interesting that so the design is still evolving all the way till you're done with the model.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
I definitely will start stitching and thinking, oh, I don't like that green with that, and that blue's too bright, or, you know, and pick a different one. Or sometimes the colors don't show up on the linen like you want. So that's why I like to stitch my own. And maybe I could send out like a Christmas design with red, gold, green, white. But something where I have a lot of colors coming together. I just started the design on the houses on Wisteria Lane. So pulling the colors for that, I have to get at least the first 3 houses done and the border to make sure the colors go together well. And then I'm going to have the big model stitched of that one, and I'll do the pillows for that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely, sometimes I'm changing close to the end.
Right.
Now you're really familiar with Valdani, but is DMC your base for these? How do you go about the thread thing? I guess you probably almost always have to have at least a DMC conversion.
I always do DMC conversions, but when I did hand embroidery, I used more of the DMC. So I know the colors I like in DMC, but for the cross stitch, I pick the overdyes first and then I match the DMCs. And I think because I've been a stitcher and quilter for so long, I know a lot of the Valdani colors and I know a lot of the over dyes I like. And then I'll pull my DMCs from that. So when I went to Nashville, I did an exclusive design for Yarn Tree for their booth, and that was in DMC. So I pulled the DMC colors I know I love, and then I did an over dyed conversion after. So I still love DMC. I just tend to like the variegation. So I'll pull a variegated and then match it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there an art background with you, or does this just all come natural?
I think I was always a creative person. I didn't take art. I was a legal assistant law clerk for 30 years, so... I just was just always a creative person, always drawing, sketching, coloring when I was younger. And I was knitting at 5 and then crochet and then into cross stitch. So I was just always creative, but no art background, no art classes, anything like that.
That's so cool when that happens. And two sides of the brain, that analytical detail work. Yeah.
Yeah, sitting at work thinking, I'm typing all day doing law. What am I doing here? I need to be creative. And I would always have my cross-stitch, crochet, quilting, something to do at lunch, in my breaks, in my car, all the time. That was like my world, my happy world.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a point where you made a conscious decision to just walk away from the 9-to-5 job and say, hey, I can do this? Quilting?
One thing that happened was I was working as a legal assistant in an old century home, and there was mold in that home, and I got really sick from it because I was allergic to it. So one day I just hit a wall and I thought, I can't stay here anymore. And I walked out and I went on sick leave. And during that sick leave, we actually started a hand-dyed yarn business. So that started off first, and we were doing hand-dyed yarn.
Lori, come on. Try to do everything.
I'm into everything. We had a hand-dyed yarn business, my daughter and I, for 4 or 5 years. It was called Lizzie Ann Yarns. And then the dyeing got to be a lot. And I don't know. It was just too much over and over, dyeing yarn, and pushing it out in the yarn business. And then... yeah, I don't know. Then I just got right into the cross stitch. So, and then I was doing really well at it. So I didn't have to go back into the legal field, which was really nice because now I just work at home.
Yeah.
That is what happened. I took a sick leave from the mold and then got into my other businesses. So, now I'm lucky I can do it full time.
Well, mold is a good thing to take a sick leave from. I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. Good move there.
Yep.
So your daughter, I mean, you mentioned your daughter a lot. That's just fantastic that you get to do so much with her. She just found a home with the creativity too. And the two of you work hand in hand, it sounds like.
Yeah. She looked at doing a few different things in school, and then she's like, when she found the graphic design, she's like, I love this. And I said, well, that's great. And then when she saw my cross stitch design, she just got into it too. She's so creative. So she's doing the cross stitch design. She has a few quilts designed that she's sewing up too, and she works on the long arms. So yeah, I'm really excited for her to go into Marketplace, and then I'm hoping to bring her to Nashville next year too, which will be great. She's very creative too.
So was this your first Nashville then?
Yeah. I was supposed to go the year before, but with COVID, my husband, he didn't want to travel. He was worried about it. So we didn't go, but yeah, that was my first Nashville.
And it was great. It had to have been quite an experience.
It was. It was overwhelming. It was exciting. The people were great. Oh, I just had such a wonderful time. I met so many people, so many stitchers, so many store owners. Yeah, it was wonderful. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. Yep. So talk about how you combine the quilting and needlework, applique, because that, to me, that your quilts where you have that, they really stand out. They're just beautiful.
Thank you. So the Pumpkin Dash quilt, it probably came into play before I even started the cross-stitch design, because the quilt design really came first. So I put the Pumpkin Dash quilt together and I submitted it to Primitive Quilts magazine, and it got accepted for their fall 2022 issue. And then it was on the cover, which was amazing. It was on the cover, and that's my first published quilt design. So that was probably ready to go. And then the cross stitch came into play. So now I find the cross stitch, I do more of that because the quilt design is very time consuming. Very time consuming. I mean, the cross stitch is time consuming as you're stitching it, but not the actual designing the chart.
Oh.
Yeah. Where designing the quilt pattern takes quite a lot more. It's a lot more written instruction too, but I love both. I love both. So, and being a hand embroiderer and wool applique, I dye my own wool for the wool applique. So I don't know. It just all goes together. And then sometimes when I'm cross stitching, I think, oh, I can make this maybe into a quilt. Or if I'm doing a quilt, I think, oh, this could be cross, you know, so it does all come together. Yeah. And my brain goes all the time. I have my phone beside my bed and I write notes half the time in the middle of the night. Because designs always seem to come up in the middle of the night.
Right, yeah. Right. When you can't sleep, you have all these great ideas and you don't want to lose them because that would be terrible. So you dye your own wool. So do you sell them in a kit, or do you just say, okay, this is the colors you need? So,
So my Pumpkin Dash quilt, it's mainly my friends. So I had a few friends that wanted the kit. I think I kitted maybe 8 of them with the wool that I had dyed. And then when I put out the flower pots, forget-me-nots block of the month, I kitted that with the wool.
Okay.
So I hand-dyed the wool. And then the first time around, I think I had 19 people signed up to do it. Most were my friends. And the pattern wasn't even fully written. I had 3 blocks done. And they're like, no, just put it out. Do it as you go. I'm like, oh, boy. But I did. And I was okay. I got it all done. And then I'm working on the last block thinking, oh my gosh, I have to get this out of here in like 3 weeks. But I got it all done and it was a big hit. And I had so many people that wanted to do it that I ran it one more time and I have 32 people stitching it right now. So we're going into month 7. And now the pattern's been put out to shops. So 2 shops have bought it so far. Yeah.
Well, that's neat. That's neat that you're doing that, because I think that's for some people. I mean, you can probably get the fabrics are easier to get, but the wool, you know, to get the wool in the right color, that would be difficult. That's why.
Yeah, see, I matched the wool colors to the fabric to the Valdani, so I could get the whole thing.
Right. Oh. Okay.
And now to put it out to shops, I can't do that because I can't include the wool in every one every time.
Right.
It's a lot. So, and I ran it as a block of the month. Yeah. So the second time around though, I did have to change a few of the fabrics, and I re-dyed all the wool. So yeah, I love the dyeing of the wool. I love the wool. Beautiful. Yeah.
There's something about wool, how it feels in your hand. And I like doing wool applique. I haven't done a whole lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you stitch through it and you're doing like the blanket stitch or any sort of stitch through it, it just feels nice. There's something about
it. It's really nice. Yeah. I don't do a blanket stitch on my applique. I usually do a whip stitch.
Oh, okay.
I like the whip stitch. I did blanket stitch for so many years. And then I can't remember who I saw. But it was someone on Instagram that was whip stitching their wool. And I thought, oh, I like that. So I started whip stitching with Valdani. And it looks really nice, too. But I mean, you have French knots, you have lazy daisies, you have back stitch, you have running stitch, all with the same Valdani. So you do the applique and then you're doing the other stitches too with the same Valdani.
Right.
Which is nice. But the wool is really nice. I have another quilt actually I just shipped off to Primitive Quilts. It'll be in the winter 2023 issue and it's called Peppermint Pennies.
Oh.
So, yeah. And it's wool applique again too. Yeah.
Yeah, that's neat.
So how, mm-hmm. as your business evolves, how are you sorting that out in terms of do I do a quilt, do I do cross stitch? Are you just letting it come out of your head and go as it goes? Or you, I mean, at some point I would think you'd have to put some structure to it to...
I know a lot of people say to me, you need to pick one thing. And I'm like, well, no, I can't do that. You know, I love it all. So I think I'm working on a quilt at the same time. At the same time as I'm doing the cross stitch design. So I'll have some cross stitch design and I stitch a lot. Like I'll do some in the morning and then I'll stitch at night. And a lot of my quilting involves handwork. So I do both, I guess. I go back and forth. I guess I do more cross stitch now than I do quilting, but I love to do both. So I still have another block of the month in the works now that I'm trying to put together. So always busy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you can keep it going, it's great because you get mm-hmm. two channels of design. And then when mm-hmm. you bring them together with the applique, you know, it's even more. I mean, you reach more of an audience and the creativity.
Yeah, the whole applique is getting pretty big now too, again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think people like it that they can do more stitches on it. Like I have friends that all they do is they maybe whip stitch it down and add a little bit of a running stitch and they're pretty much done. And then others mm-hmm. have, you know, they just take it over. But there's, you know, it gives you something else, you know, like you have something you can put on your table or a wall hanging, you know, mm-hmm. or, you know, little pillows, whatever you decide to do with them. They're just... it's the feel of them, I think, because I think stitchers are tactile people. We want to touch, you know.
Yeah, and the feel of the wool. Yeah, I don't know what mm-hmm. it is about the feel of the wool, but it's really nice. And I'm big stitching my flower pots and forget-me-nots, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it just takes forever to hand quilt it. So one of my friends that did my block of the month, she had an edge-to-edge design done right over the wool applique.
Really?
And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that. And then when I saw it, I was like, wow, looks pretty good. Yeah. So, I mean, that is an option too, because the quilting part of it is a bit harder with having the wool applique. So then I thought, oh, should I take out my big stitch and do that? And I went, no, don't do that. You don't do much now, but like that's an option too, is the, you know, it looks amazing because my big stitch is taking me forever. I think I have two blocks done and I'm trying to work on it every day. And it's like, it'll be beautiful when it's done, but it's quite time consuming. But I added one of the colors in my Valdani collection to do the big stitch quilting if they wanted to do that. So,
yeah. So I got to ask, what is big stitch quilting? I've never heard that term.
So it's when you use a Valdani and normally a chenille needle. So traditional quilting is with the cotton thread and the needle, and you rock the needle and you get like 5 stitches on your needle and you pull it through. With the big stitch, it's more of a running stitch, I guess. It's more of a running stitch and it's big stitch because the thread is thicker and the stitches are bigger.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you're still doing the same, you know, sort of running stitch around, but the stitches
it's
are
still
not
the running stitch. Yeah. Yeah. Right. But it's with thicker Valdani and it's a bit quicker and the stitches are bigger and you can't really rock that many on your needle. So I typically just do 1 or 2, but if I'm doing traditional hand quilting, I can get 3, 4, 5 on the needle at one time. That's what I used to do, traditional hand quilting, but yeah, now I'm doing big stitch on this one. So.
Right. And yeah, it still takes time because it's all by hand.
It all takes time. Yep. Mm-hmm. I know. I think to myself, oh my gosh, I could put this on my long arm and be done in 2 hours. But that's not the look I want on that one. So, you know.
Right, right. But it'd be pretty with the Baldani and yeah. I could see it with the big on the wall and with the wool applique. Mm-hmm. And oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But you could probably see it on my Instagram. I think I have a couple pictures on there of it. I might have a couple pictures of the big stitch quilting on there.
Okay, dumb guy question here. What determines okay. whether you do a quilt by hand, the quilting by hand, or put it on the long arm? What drives that? Is it a design thing? Is it an efficiency thing?
So I think so if I need to get a quilt out quicker, it definitely goes on the long arm because it's a lot faster. So my Pumpkin Dash one, I custom quilted. I'm not a custom quilter, so it wasn't the most amazing, but I liked it. And then I don't know, to do by hand takes a lot longer. So if you have the time, and because my flower pots quilt, it's like not going anywhere, right? It was just mine for my stitch along with it. I thought, no, I'm going to try and do the hand quilting. So I'm not a big hand quilter now. I don't have the time for it anymore. But I thought, I'll just take my time and off it goes. So like you want to do the hand quilting, it definitely takes a lot of time. If I need a quilt out quick, I'll get it on the long arm. And also anything that's pieced and doesn't have applique will go on the long arm. Because the edge to edge adds just such a nice texture to the quilt that I love. But if I want, like for the flower pots and forget me nots block of the month, I wanted the applique to stand out and not be stitched over, I guess. So I could have done it custom, but I really wanted to use the Valdani on it.
No, it just fascinates me that because the quilt design is one thing, but the more I've looked at quilting, and I recently went to the quilt museum there, and I mm-hmm. really kind of got locked into the quilting part, the art that's involved in the quilting part, aside mm-hmm. from the pieces that are all put together. And yep. It's an amazing little sub world of quilts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure it is. I love the quilt design. There's so much you can do with it and so much history and mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have quite a few of antique quilts too in my collection. I love them all.
So what's coming up for you in terms of quilt designs and cross-stitch designs? Do you have stuff that you're going to be releasing soon?
So I have three designs coming out in June. I have my new Words to Stitch By, so Bloom and Stitch, I'll be releasing in June. And I have a Mother-Daughter Everlasting Friendship. It was supposed to be a pin keep, but it ended up being a bit too big. So it's going to be like a little sampler frame. And my mom is stitching that for me. So she's almost finished that. And we're going to put the patterns out for those three. Yeah, my mom stitches. She stitched another pin keep for me too before too. So it's nice. Yeah, she's stitching that one. And then for Marketplace, I'll have... So that'll be in August. I have a Red Work sampler. I have Autumn Garden at Cranberry Manor, which is the next one from the Summer Garden that was released at Needlework Market. What else am I doing? I'm trying to bring out the houses on Wisteria Lane for that. I have one reproduction, so it'll be my first reproduction. I have about maybe 7 antique samplers I want to reproduce. So I've got one charted out. I'm hoping to put that out.
Wait a minute. So on top of all this other stuff, you're...
Because she has nothing else to do,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, between midnight and 3, you collect reproduction, you collect antique samplers, and now you're going to reproduce them. All right, okay.
I have about 7. I had a design in just cross-stitch, too, that just came out in the June issue. It was called Peacock Manor. So well, that just came out.
So talk about the reproduction samplers. You buy those just kind of as a kind of on a whim, and then
Mostly the ones I've seen are on eBay, and I just make sure that the sellers I'm buying from have good ratings. And yeah, I have some beautiful ones. I have two really beautiful ones. And then I have one that I purchased from a lady. She has a shop in Uxbridge, and her mother used to own an antique shop. So she has tons of them. And she'll release some in her Etsy shop sometimes for people to purchase. So I got one of those from her. And that's the first one I have. It's Hannah Alexander. So, and I've got it all charted out. I just have to get it stitched. And because it's my first one, I really want to stitch it myself. And it'll be done. I have Soie d'Alger for that. Those silks for that one. They're really pretty colors. So, and the original was stitched in wool. Yeah, but I mostly find them on eBay. I don't, okay. I have some, so.
So what draws you to them? What drew you to starting to collect those? Yeah.
I love the look of them. I love the history. I love thinking about the girls that stitched these so long ago, or boys. I don't have any stitched by boys. They're all girls right now. I just actually bought two that are stitched by sisters. So that was kind of interesting. I love it. I love the history and how old, and pulling them apart and looking at the floss and the stitches and what they stitched. And oh, it's just beautiful. They're beautiful.
Now, we're living in Canada. Are those samplers mainly coming from England, or are they Canadian origin? What kind of background do they have?
No, not Canadian. I don't have any from Canada.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The ones I got, I'd have to look back in my folders. I have all the information on them, but not from Canada.
Yeah, okay. I just wondered, because that's... Yeah, I just wonder if you're getting a different source, a different lineage of sampler than people would get, say, in the States or in England. And
yeah, definitely not from here, but...
Yeah, okay.
I have a whole folder on all of them. I'd have to pull it out.
Yeah.
I probably actually have it close somewhere.
And then the research on those has got to be great fun just to do that.
Yeah. Yep. It's a lot of fun. When I have time, I try to get into it. As I get more and more into doing more, I still really love my own design process, but the reproductions, they definitely fascinate me. Yeah. I love them. I love them. I love how they look. Mm-hmm.
Right. And sometimes you can't help but wonder, but what was that little girl thinking when she stitched, when you're working on something, right? It's
Like the ones I just got, one is aged 8 and one is aged 9, 1858.
Wow. Yeah.
They're just small. And the one says West Hartlepool. So I haven't done much research into that yet, but I'd like to. The one's dated and one isn't. So, but there's a space above. It could have been dated. You never know, right? If it was pulled out or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of those. Didn't want people to know how old she was.
Those
you know?
Vanity samplers. Yeah. Yeah.
That makes it fun. Mm-hmm.
And that's a very different kind of charting, too. It's sitting there with a magnifier. Very different. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I do. I have my magnifier. I definitely needed a lot of that with the one I just did. But I've only charted one so far. I have two Dutch samplers. They're really nice. So those are, they're beautiful. They're beautiful. And then for the quilting, I'm trying to put together a new block of the month. It's just going to take some time, because this one I'm going to finish before I put it all out to my friends that want to stitch it.
Okay.
Is that way you're not rushing to try to keep up with them?
No. They're all finished my other one, and they're like, okay, when's another one coming out? They had so much fun with it. So yeah. I said, well, I have to put it all together. I've got, those I sketch out more because there's pieces and piecing and math and.
Right.
So, yeah.
Makes sense.
So do you and your daughter have regular business meetings? I mean, it's you got so many things going. There's got to be some organization to this thing, and sounds like she's just as enthusiastic as you are about all aspects.
She is. We usually get up in the morning and walk our dogs, and then we'll stitch for a bit, and then we're on with the day.
Yeah.
So, and she helps me too. She's been helping me with putting charts together and doing the design of them. And so because she lives here and she's, you know, for the summer, she's doing the long arm and she's doing her design and helping me with mine. That's what she's doing for the summer. So we're both here working all day together all the time, which is really nice.
It's so great to have a graphic artist built into your business too, because that, you know, all your, your covers and logos and everything. That's huge.
She's so good at the design part. It amazes me. Even in the quilt patterns, she takes, what's it called? InDesign or Illustrator? I think it's InDesign. And she does all the block patterns and pulls them out. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. I don't know how to do that. She's really good at it. I'm really excited for her to put out her designs at Marketplace.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that when she's going to release her designs or will it be beforehand?
Nope. She's going to wait. She's going to wait till Marketplace.
Okay. And then all of your work, you go through local needlework stores. Is that how you do it as opposed to selling it yourself?
So I do put PDFs on my website, but I don't put them on until usually 2 months after.
Okay.
I let all the shops have the designs first. I want to support them first. I think we need them. I wish I had a local needlework shop. I don't, but I definitely love to support them. And then I will. I wasn't sure about doing PDF at all, but I did put PDFs up on my website after that for people that don't have needlework shops or don't have access. But I have to say most people will buy from the needlework shop first. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like too. So it's always 2 months after before I put it out as a PDF.
Okay. Yeah. And mm-hmm. and your stuff available through the usual distributors so that shops can get it?
Yeah, I have Hoffman and Yarn Tree.
Okay.
I was lucky. I got them like right away, right after Needlework Expo.
That's great. But then, is it the standard we need X copies of each?
Oh, from distributors, you mean? Yep. Mm-hmm.
We'll carry you, but ship us a bunch of stuff and hurry up.
No, they're not like that at all, actually. They'll send me purchase orders for however many charts they want me to send them.
Okay.
But it's whenever I get them together and send them out. And actually, when I was at Needlework Market, they told me, they were like, you're really quick at getting your designs out. Some people, they have to wait a long time for. So I don't know if it's a priority for everybody, but I like to get them out as fast as I can because then more people have access to them too, which is nice because I have quite a few shops order directly from me, but because it's more of a US market, it's nice when the distributors have them and the shops can just go in and get everything they need right there instead of paying because shipping is higher from Canada, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that shipping thing, I tell you.
Yeah, that's getting to be more and more of a factor no matter what we do is the shipping.
I know. Yeah.
So, all right, so we got some new designs coming up and the Marketplace and your daughter Emily's designs coming up.
Hers is business name is Blueberry Ridge Design. That's the name of hers. So okay. She just opened an Instagram and she's posting her designs on there. So
Blueberry Ridge?
Yep.
All right. Have to add that to my list then.
Yep.
Yeah, people to follow.
I'm excited for her.
Yeah.
That is exciting.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, that's Lori, what I said you were. Maybe we'll do some kind of collaboration for Nashville. So we'll see about that.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. You should.
Yeah, they loved, actually, when I was at Nashville, I had a few shops and they were like, oh, your daughter's designing too. They're like, we love the family designers and the quilting. And I had such an overwhelming response to my quilts too, which was so great. So yeah, it's really great.
All right. Lori Pengelly, Pansy Patch Quilts and Stitchery. She does all the things, all the things,
all yes. the things,
all the things.
Yep. So that's a Pansy Patch Quilts and Stitchery.ca because Canadian. So check that out. Lori, thanks so much. It was great fun learning about all these things. Thanks for making the time.
It was great. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks to everyone for listening.